Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Hanging of Haman, as we pick up in Esther, chapter 8, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And so on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther, the queen. So Haman was hung, and Esther was given the house as a gift from the king. You can have his house. And no doubt it was a beautiful palace adjacent to the king's palace. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told of the relationship. He's my cousin. And so Mordecai, who was honored earlier by the king, is now brought before the king. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman. He had entrusted Haman with a signet ring. And now he takes it off and gives it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. So let him manage the house. She had her own house, the queen's chambers. And so she let Mordecai have the house of Haman. And Esther spoke again before the king. She fell down at his feet, and she besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his devices whereby he devised against the Jews. Then the king held out again the golden scepter towards Esther. She came in again, this time weeping and crying. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If it pleases the king, if I have found favor in your sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and if it is pleasing in your eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all of the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my family?" So do something to countermand this order. Then the king Ahasuerus said to Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, "Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they've hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write also for the Jews as whatever you like in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse." In other words, I can't reverse the earlier order. So you write an order. Write what you want. And seal it with my ring. So then the king's scribes are called at this time in the third month. The order of extermination was to be in the 12th month. So in the third month, the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day of the month, they wrote another decree that Mordecai commanded to the Jews and the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127, unto every province according to the writing thereof and unto every people after their language. So written in many languages to all the provinces, to the Jews, according to their writing and according to their language, he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and he sealed it with the king's ring, and he sent letters by the postman and on horseback, and the riders and mules, camels and young dromedaries. I mean, postmen in those days had interesting vehicles, and camels, mules, and young dromedaries, horseback. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to defend themselves. In other words, he gave the Jews now the permission to gather in groups to defend themselves on the 13th day of the 12th month when the order was to destroy them. He is saying they can defend themselves. And they can destroy and slay and cause to perish all the power of the people in the province that would assault them. So anyone who comes against them, they are given the permission to destroy them and to kill them, both their little ones, their women, and to take the spoil of them as a booty. And upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, March in our calendar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people that the Jews should be ready to defend themselves and to avenge themselves on their enemies. So these posts that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan, there in the area of the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province, in every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews. They proselyted, for fear of the Jews had fallen upon them. And so here's a tremendous reversal here. From the weeping and the wailing and the mourning that the Jews were in, with this new decree comes joy and gladness. Preservation is assured because they can defend themselves. Now when this 12th month came, the month of Adar, on the 13th day, that crisis day, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put into execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have the power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. And again, the Lord turned the tables completely. Where they were hoping to have power over the Jews, God gave the Jews the power over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. And all the rulers of the provinces, the lieutenants, the deputies, the officers of the king, helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai was upon them. He had been made sort of the prime minister, and so the officers aided the Jews in their defending of themselves. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all of their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and the slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. That was right there in the palace. And it gives you then the names, the Persian names, of the 10 sons of Haman, who were also slain. I'll let you read those names. Then the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they slew, but the spoil they did not touch. They wouldn't take the spoil. And on that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan was brought before the king. They came and told the king, there's been 500 killed right here in the area of the palace. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? How many do you suppose have been slain throughout all of the provinces? If they did 500 right here in the palace area, how many do you suppose they've slain in all the provinces? Now what do you want? And it shall be granted thee. What do you further request? It shall be done. So Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do the same thing tomorrow here in Shushan, according to this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Now, the Persians often would do that. After they had killed their enemies, they would put them up on these poles, just as a warning and just as a sort of a threat to sort of inspire terror to anyone who would think to rebel against the king. They would take the bodies of those that had been slain and put them up on poles. And so she's asking that the 10 sons of Haman be put up on poles. And so the king commanded it to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged the 10 sons of Haman. For the Jews that were at Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month of Adar, and they slew 300 men at Shushan, but of the prey they did not lay their hand. They had the right if they wanted to take the spoil, but they did not do that. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies, and they slew of their foes 75,000, but they did not lay their hands upon the spoil. And on the 13th day of the month of Adar, on the 14th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. So it was the 13th day, the day of defense. The 14th day, they had had great victory, and so they were feasting and a day of fasting, a day of celebration, for they were preserved. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled on the 13th day and on the 14th day, and it wasn't until the 15th day that they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting, or the holiday, and the good day, and the sending of portions one to another. Even to the present day, they celebrate 2 days, this Feast of Purim. In the villages, in the countryside, they celebrate it on the 14th. In the walled city of Jerusalem, and in the walled cities, they celebrated on the 15th. They still follow that ancient pattern from the Bible. So now here is the proclamation of this feast that is to be observed from year to year. And the Feast of Purim that is still held today in and among the Jews, and especially over in Israel. So this is the decree by which this Jewish holiday was established. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. The 14th day in the villages, the 15th in the walled cities. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, the sending of gifts to each other, and to give gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur. Pur is the casting of lots. It is the Persian name for lots, and that is the lot, it says, to consume them and to destroy them. There's a bit of a superstition with this casting of lots. It's to determine which day by chance or by the dice or whatever would be the appropriate day for this decree to be fulfilled. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore, they called these days Purim. Now, Pur is the singular, but Purim, you know that the Hebrew plural is the I am. And so they took a Persian word and gave it a Hebrew plural. So you have a combination here, Purim, which is lots, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter in which they had come to them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as join themselves unto them, so as they should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. So as this decree went out, they all said, yes, we'll do it. And as I say, they continue to do it to the present day. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, in every province, every city, that the days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. It's to be a perpetual holiday throughout the generations. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim, so that it would become an official holiday. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with the words of peace and truth. It is interesting that the Jews said that when the Messiah comes, all of their holidays will cease with the exception of Purim. They said that will be the one that will continue even after the Messiah comes. To confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fasting and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Thus, official Jewish holiday and a memorial of Esther's successful intercession and of God's preservation of his people, turning the evil that was intended against them for good, turning their sorrow into joy. And you are a child of God, and God will do the very same things for you. I love the prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah 61, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those that were bound, to open the prison doors, to proclaim the day of the Lord, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for sorrow." And how often the Lord does that in our lives, turns our sorrow into joy. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute on the land and upon the isles of the sea, or the coast of the sea. So a general taxation. And all of the acts of his power and of his might, the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? They very well could be. We don't have them. They have been long lost. But these things were recorded in the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. But for Mordecai, the Jew, he was next to King Ahasuerus, promoted to the place of prime minister. And he was great among the Jews. And he was accepted of the multitude of his brethren. He was well received. And then I love this, seeking the wealth of his people. It is tragic that some people who are promoted to positions of authority use that position of authority to enrich themselves. So often this is one of the problems of a government and authority. Those who are placed in these positions abuse the position because they use it to make themselves wealthy. Mordecai, exercising authority in the God-given way, used that authority to bring wealth to the people. And he was seeking the welfare of the people, not his own welfare, but the welfare of the people. I do believe that very few men are capable of really governing others. I believe that a man is really not qualified to govern others unless he himself is governed. I think that that's an absolute requirement for any man who is going to rule, to realize that he is not the end. He also is responsible unto God for how he rules. Mordecai was a good ruler because he sought the welfare of the people. And he spoke peace to to all of his seed. He brought peace to the nation and to the people. So the beautiful story of Esther, one of the classic stories of the Old Testament, a story that is designed to show us God's providential care over his people, a story that gives to us the origin of one of the Jewish holidays celebrated to the present time. A story in which many lessons can be drawn for ourselves. How that if we put our trust in God, God will take care of us. Stepping out in faith and commitment, God will preserve us.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as we begin our study of Job. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith begins his verse-by-verse study of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith. Today's closing prayer.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity again of looking into your word and seeing, Lord, your providential care, your overruling government, how that, Lord, you do overrule in the affairs of man to protect your people. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've called us to be your children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to rest in that confidence that God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And may we walk, Lord, before you in a way that is acceptable and pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd like to draw your attention to a couple of very special resources by Pastor Chuck Smith that answer some of the many questions about the third person of the Trinity. The first of these two resources is entitled The Person of the Holy Spirit, and contains 12 messages that explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit in detail, as well as how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. Now, the second resource is entitled The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and consists of 19 messages covering such subjects as healing, prophecy, and faith. Pastor Chuck not only explains how and why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to the church today, but he also encourages believers to fully understand the working of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. Once again, you'll be asking for The Person of the Holy Spirit and The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.